السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we are still discussing a hadith of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I will try and condense and cover up in today's talk, inshallah. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, many sahabas have reported or related that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is reported to have said that if a person cannot make tahajjud salat, then if he wants the fazilat and the virtues of the tahajjud salat, I'm giving you an explanation, then stay away from sins during the day. This point we have discussed at length, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not in need of too much of nafil ibadat. It is the muhabbat of a person for Allah Ta'ala that makes him engage in nafil ibadat, which is a virtuous thing. And if a person is given the tawfiq and he has the opportunity, then he must make as much optional ibadat as possible. But what is important is that the person should restrain himself from those things that are displeasing to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because all the promises that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made in the Holy Quran Sharif have been made on taqwa, the ease with which Allah Ta'ala provides risk and sustenance is on taqwa, the removal of calamities, difficulties, problems, trials is on taqwa, and so many other virtues. And taqwa has been explained that it is restraining oneself from haram. And brothers, believe me that when people make an effort to restrain themselves from haram, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in these days of fitna gives them very, very quickly those rewards which he has promised. Because they are days of fitna, from all sides we are being lashed by fitnas. So he said, if you cannot gain that virtue of tahajjud salat, then at least restrain yourself from all sins during the day. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to look at his ahadith also, there's so much of emphasis on restraining from those things which are haram, which are sinful. I explained in one of my majlises on Sunday nights that hijrat also is something that people use very commonly these days, that we are making hijrat. We are making hijrat. This is a very common term on the tongues of many Muslims. And there is no harm and there is no sin in using this term. But just as most of the words and terms have lost their true meaning, in the same way this term hijrat has also lost its true meaning. In the time of the Sahaba-e Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, it was understood to mean that the person forsakes his home, his city, his country, his wealth, his belongings, for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when there is a demand and there is a need for it. But together with that, there was a complete forsaking of everything that was haram and that forbidden by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Sahaba-e Kiram left Makkah Mukarramah and came over to Madinah Tayyibah. We term that as a hijrat. The Sahaba-e Kiram left Makkah Mukarramah and came to Abyssinia, the present-day Ethiopia. We term that as hijrat. And then so many other hijrat was made. So in these days, when a person leaves the country and he goes away overseas to settle, then we say he has made hijrat. Technically, it is correct that the person has made hijrat. But I explain that that is not the true hijrat. If a person has just left his country and gone and settled in America, Canada, or somewhere else, and we call that hijrat, then we will say that he left his country and settled somewhere else. So literally that may be hijrat. But the true hijrat is that if that person left his country for the protection of his deen, for the protection of his piety and taqwa, for the protection of the deen of his children, then we will say that this person has made hijrat. But if this person has left his country just because the economic condition of this country is poor, or because there's a lot of crime, or just because there's a lot of hijacking and murders and killings, so the person forsakes the country and goes and settles somewhere else where it is much more peaceful, then we will say literally this person has made hijrat, he has left the country and gone somewhere else. But if he has gone with all the sins that he was committing in this country to the other country, then he hasn't made hijrat. In the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is not hijrat. If a person is even going out for the sake of deen, that his intention is deen, but at the same time he is taking with him all his sins, he is not making hijrat from those sins, then that too is not true hijrat. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. Asla hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. It is important, it is necessary that the person gives up his sins, because just the giving up of his watan is not hijrat. Now this is something that we don't understand, and we say the person has made hijrat. But yet, in the new country that he is settling, the same sins are with him. There is no pabandi or istiqamat or steadfastness in his salat. He is indulging in those same vices that he was indulging in his country, so that is not hijrat. Nevertheless, to proceed or to move further, so that is the first thing, that if the person cannot gain the virtues of tahajjud salat, then at least stay away from sins. Allah Ta'ala will equate him on the day of Qiyamah with those persons who were making tahajjud salat. We read sometimes in pamphlets, and there is no doubt that some of it is taken from authentic hadiths. How to become a millionaire overnight. And then we will be given 4 or 5 tasbihs to read and you become millionaires. And people read that and they think that we have become millionaires. Indeed, the sawab and the virtue, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has reported it, if it is authentic hadith, then we believe in it. We make yaqeen. But would we call that person a millionaire who has got million in at this moment in time, and 2 seconds later that million is gone? The person has got a billion now, and few seconds time that billion is gone. Then we will not call that person a millionaire and a billionaire. So that is our condition, that with these tasbihat and with these wazaif, we accumulate a bit of good deeds, even though it may be running into millions. But then one ghibat wipes away and washes away everything. The person takes a little bit of interest and everything is gone. The person casts lustful glances and the accumulated nakis and blessings all vanish and disappear into thin air. So this person can keep on considering himself as millionaire, but in actual fact he is a pauper. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that stay away from all sins. Then the second point that we discussed to some extent is that if a person cannot keep nafil rozas and fasts, then restrain his tongue from all haram. Hazrat Rabi'i rahmatullah alayk was a tabi, and he narrates a very, very frightening incident of his life. He says that I went into a gathering where people were making ghibat, they were backbiting about others. We must remember that backbiting is permissible if that person is going to be protected, or he is being informed of somebody that is going to harm him in some way or the other, or there is some weakness or there is some shortcoming in some brother, and you want to inform this person that you must be careful, don't trade with this person, don't deal with this person, don't have very close relationship with this person, because I know what he can be up to. So that is not ghibat, if you're trying to protect the other person from harm. Or a person is committing sins openly, he does not bother, he does not care what people talk about him. He goes to the casino openly, to the cinemas, to the theaters, he gambles, he takes interest openly, and he does not care. As one brother said, that he went to a certain person and he wanted some money on loan. So this brother offered to give him the loan, and then said that I will charge you a certain percentage interest on this loan. So the person that went for the loan, he said that, but how can you charge me interest? Interest is haram. And look at the books of Hadith Sharif, what kind of lanat and curse of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is on those people who charge interest on their money's loan. So this person said, I don't think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be displeased with me. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Because, and he takes a qasam, he said that this is what this brother said, is he still a Muslim? I said, I don't know, I'm not the judge. He said, I don't think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be displeased with me. Because if you had to go to the bank, they would have charged you 24%, 25%, whatever the rate of interest is. And I am doing you a favor, because nobody else seems to be prepared to give you an interest-free loan. So if I am charging you 11%, then I have done you a great favor. And when a person does good to somebody, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes pleased. Then we want to know, why are the afat, masaib, balaya, troubles, problems, difficulties, quarrels, arguments, fights, and all kinds of hardships are befalling the Muslim Ummah. So Hazrat Ribi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that I went to a gathering and the people were making ghibat. They were making ghibat of somebody. So I walked away from that majlis. I walked away from that gathering, knowing the harms of this ghibat. So I walked away. After some time, thinking that now that discussion must have ended, so I went back to that gathering. When I went there, this time they were still continuing, talking about somebody, making ghibat, backbiting. But the resistance power now had faded. I could not resist now. I too sat there, and I too indulged in backbiting. One or two things I also mentioned and said. Hazrat Ribi Rahmatullah Alayhi, because he was a Tabi, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he wants to save and protect someone, or he wants to alert someone, then either through a dream or some other incident, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alerts the person. That is his ihsan. This little shake-ups that we get, it is not only azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in fact it is an ihsan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so that people may take a lesson, they may heed the warnings, and they may return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Zuhar al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas li yuziqahum ba'd allazi amilu la'allahum yarji'un. So that we may give them a taste of some of their doings, so that they may return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So it is to alert us, to give us a warning bell. So Hazrat Ribi Rahmatullah Alayhi, being of that status and position, so immediately, the same night, he says, I saw a dream. And in that dream, I see a very, very ugly, dark-looking, frightening, scary person. And he comes with a whole pot of pork. He comes with pork. And he tells me to eat the pork. So I tell him that I am a Muslim, I cannot eat pork. Pork is haram. He said, you will have to eat. And he begins thrusting it down my throat, forces it into my mouth. I keep screaming and shouting, but I am unable to overpower him, and he forces all that down me until I awoke in fright. Then for 30 days, whenever I was eating my halal food, I was getting the stench of pork in my halal food. That is the reason that many people who make tabirs of dreams, When somebody sees that he is eating pork, or he is feeding someone pork, then one of the tabirs is this, that this person is indulging in a lot of ghibat. One of the tabirs. Or he is earning haram. So the Ribi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, I made istighfar and tawbah so much, but still for almost 30 days, I got the smell of pork. That is what one ghibat with the tongue does to all those accumulated nakis and deeds, which we take so lightly. Something that we take so lightly, this is what it does with all that tahajjud and ishraq and chasht and awwabin, that within seconds it makes it vanish. Hazrat Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, I went to a person's home, he invited me for meal. When the very first morsel went into my mouth, I realized that this was of haram earnings. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala makes their taste but such that they can taste haram earnings. For us there is nothing, no difference it makes to us. No matter how much of haram we earn, no matter whose property we have digested, no matter which orphans or widows, assets and estate we have made hazam, it makes no difference to our taste. But here just one or two morsels, and he says, I realized that this was of haram earnings, but it was too late, it had gone down. He tried to force it out, but still he says, for days, for many, many days, bad and evil thoughts kept coming in his mind. Commit this sin, commit this sin, commit this sin. In spite of all the istighfar and tawbah, it took many days before the effect of that morsel of haram could be wiped out. So this is what it does. Sins and haram, this is what it does to those nakis over which we are so proud that I am doing so much of work. I am giving so much of bayans. I am making so much of zikr. I am making so much of talim. I am giving so much of dawat. All these things make us proud that we have got plentiful. But we do not look on the liability side, that what are our liabilities. When we are working out for zakat balance sheet, then we say that we must look at both the assets and the liabilities. And all bookkeepers do the same thing. So just as we are looking at our assets all the time, that how much we have accumulated, we must also look at our liabilities. What are our liabilities? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person at least must control his tongue. This tongue must be controlled, otherwise he is not going to get the real virtues and, or he is not going to see the benefits of all those ibadat that he is making. He will get some rewards. So those people who cannot keep fast, nafil roza, Allah Ta'ala will not question them on the day of judgment that why didn't you keep so much of nafil roza. But if the person did not control his tongue, and especially in our times, we don't make ghibat of just ordinary human beings. Our ghibat goes very, very far. Some people are even making ghibat of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. That Nauzubillah, they were fighting with each other like how we fight, Nauzubillah. Not knowing Islamic history. They attack and criticize the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. Some criticize the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in. And some people, they enjoy the ghibat of the Mashayikh of our time. The Buzrugs of our time. The walis of our time. But just because those walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we are not associated with them. So therefore we enjoy their ghibat in our own gatherings. Hazrat Mawla Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi said that sometimes we will make ghibat of some mashayikh, of some buzrugs, some walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after looking at our little effort. And as a result of that, he said, we will go right down into Jahannam. And that buzrug will go higher and higher and closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because of our ghibat, we will go asfalus safilin. And that buzrug whose ghibat we made, because we don't understand certain things, or we don't understand certain of the statements, so they will go very high. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will elevate and raise their status, and he will destroy us for making their ghibat. Brothers, I'm telling you these things with very deep-hearted pain. because it is for our own good, for our own islah. If we are not going to make islah of these things, then all these accumulated deeds, so called, we will not see anything on the day of judgment. So he says, if you cannot do that, then at least control this tongue. Be very careful. Guard this tongue from making those statements which sometimes lead to kufr and sometimes shirk. There can be differences of opinion, but we must guard our tongue. What are we saying? Have we got full knowledge of whatever we are speaking? Therefore the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Don't pursue those things of which you have no knowledge. Your hearing, your sight, everything will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. So if we cannot fast, keep plenty of nafil rozas, then at least restrain ourselves from using the tongue in haram places. The next point was discussed, that if a person cannot go for jihad, he is physically weak, doesn't have the training, doesn't have the experience, or doesn't have the health anymore, or doesn't have the means, but the desire must be in the heart to sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala one's life. If a person does not have the desire in his heart, then he is not even a believer. But for some reason or the other, if he is unable to go and give his life in the battlefield or become a ghazi and return with the rewards of a ghazi, then at least this person should make jihad against his nafs. He should make jihad against his nafs. He will be equated on the day of Qiyamah with those people. This jihad against the nafs, it is such a jihad which is ongoing 24 hours. In every person's life this jihad is there. We have to keep on fighting nafs and shaitan. And especially in our surroundings, in our environment, nafs and shaitan are always attacking us, always attacking us. There's so much of fitnas, there's so much of corruption, there's so much of mischief. But as I explained in some other talk, that shaitan and nafs are so shrewd and so clever that they will divert our attention to things that are happening far, far away, so that we may keep on talking about things that are happening far away and we forget ourselves. Again, I'm not implying or saying that a Muslim should not be concerned about what is happening far away. Because even if one person is affected thousands of miles away, then the Muslim is like one body and soul. If one person suffers injury or pain, any way it may be in the globe, then every Muslim should suffer that pain and injury. That is in its place. But at the same time, it must not be a convenient way of diverting one's attention, that we have so much of weaknesses. We have snakes around our necks and we worry about the fly that's sitting on somebody's forehead. That is our condition today. As far as our sins are concerned, we have got snakes around our necks, pythons around our necks which are biting or ready to destroy us. But if one fly is sitting on somebody's forehead, then we are very concerned. If it is an extremely hot day and a person is standing in the sun, and he's saying, I'm feeling terribly hot, I'm perspiring, it is very, very tough and difficult to stand in the sun, in the heat of the sun. So somebody tells him that if it is very hot there, then there's an air-conditioned room, go inside there. Now this person says, no, I'm not prepared to come inside there. So we will say that this person does not want to protect himself from the heat of the sun. If he was interested and if he wanted coolness, then he would have gone into that room when the friend had offered him to do so. So this shows very clearly that this person is not interested. That is our condition. That we are being told repeatedly that sins, they are fire. You connect yourself with the fire of Jahannam immediately. Listen to the stories of people who are indulging in sins, and why must we go and listen to other people's stories? We know ourselves what kind of peace we have in our hearts. So when we have got so much of snakes around us, then how are we going to save ourselves from them? if all the time we are just going to be concerned about that little fly that's sitting on somebody's forehead. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to put all our effort into His obedience and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to restrain ourselves from everything that displeases Him and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if we are going to do that, then we will become the recipients of His rahmat, His mercy, His forgiveness, His kindness, His compassion. And all His gifts, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then shower upon us. And the greatest gift He will give us will be peace of mind, contentment in our hearts, tranquility, serenity, such joy and such happiness that the kings of the world also do not know of it. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين